when I think back through that first chapter of Colossians, and Paul is not correcting the Christians there at Colossae, but teaching them, encouraging them, reminding them that Jesus is exactly who he says he is, right? He is the one that came to be your propitiation, to take your place, to stand justified before God on your behalf. That's exactly who Jesus is. And as I was thinking about that and preparing to begin and do the next couple of messages on chapter 2, I ran across the video that we're about to show you. And given the weight of this morning, I absolutely understand now why God gave me a video of a comedian that was an atheist that's now a Christian to share his testimony. And you may have seen it, and I know you've heard of the guy, Tim Allen, I think is his name. And not the guy, the stand-up comedian guy, right? It's about 17 and a half minutes long, but it'll make you laugh a little, but it'll also make you think, do I view God, do I view Jesus in the same way that he's going to talk about? And you say, well, how does that relate to Colossians? Well, hopefully, after you see the video and then we begin to talk about chapter 2, you'll see exactly how it relates. Because at the end of the day, we can think whatever we want to think. We can choose to believe whatever is said about God, whatever is said about Jesus Christ. But guess what? That doesn't change God. That doesn't change who Jesus is. And that doesn't change who God is. That doesn't change His Holy Spirit. At the end of the day, when we talk about the truth of Scripture, the truth of God, he says it himself. God is, and that's it. God is. So, as we play this video, I just want you to listen and just relax. And then when it's over, we'll come back up and have a few more words to share. I know parts of that, as I listened to it, was hard to hear. But as he went on, I found myself thinking, man, I've been there. I mean, you know, different circumstances. But I remember thinking, man, I've been there. I've felt that way. And you say, but you're the pastor. Well, guess what? I still feel that emotions and those things sometimes, right? When we think about coming to church, we think about being a Christian, we think about following Jesus, and I'm going to use his line, I'm going to say this in the most loving way I know, is I think deep down we all want to do that. But many of us don't know how to do that. So we come to church and hopefully somebody is living that, or teaching that. And then from there, we hopefully grab onto something and we apply that and then it changes us. And then when those moments that he's talking about that we deal with come, then we can do what? We can point to one person and one person only that is the source of who we are as a Christian. So, to kind of conclude chapter 1 of Colossians, Paul looked at the church. Remember, that's a first-gen church. We've got several years of information. We've got the Bible, the number one source of information to go back to anytime we want. There's a church, especially in the South, there's a church on every corner that we can go to, if we choose to get answers. That first gen didn't have that. Jesus had died, been raised back to life, and then been taken back to where he's at now at the right hand of the Father. So all they had was people like Paul to instruct them. And right off the bat, he says, hey, I know that you're struggling. And remember, he had not met them. He didn't know anyone at that church. And he was several hundred miles away from them in prison when he wrote the letter. And in the letter, he says, hey, stop worrying about all this stuff. And I love his illustration. We got this big hole. And we try to take all the stuff in the world that's out there and shove it into that hole. And we're pursuing what? Happiness. And Paul says, hey, stop doing that. And look, I got 3 pages of notes. But I'm going to save that for 2 weeks from now when I get back off vacation. Paul told that church, whatever noise that you hear that's not truth, stop listening to it. Whatever it is that said, for them in that time, remember where they were at. It was a big trade city. There was anything and everything they had at their fingertips. Guess what? We live in the United States. Anything and everything is right at your fingertips. And I look around this room and I know, because I'm there too, some of that stuff I cannot say no to. A lot of it I can. But there's some of it that I open it up and I say, ooh, I want that. Even when I know it's not good for me or my family or my church. So Paul said to the church at Colossae, stop looking to those things and let me remind you of who you should be looking to. In the whole first chapter of Colossians, he says, that person is Jesus Christ. God in the flesh, the one who died on the cross, shed every ounce of his blood to cover your sin, your shame, your embarrassment, so that one day when he comes back to get you, you can stand before an almighty, holy, just, righteous God and have him look at you and say, welcome home, child. Will you leave today that way? Or will you leave in the same way that you came here this morning? If he is not more than just your Savior. Because that's part of Colossians, and we'll get into that when we get into chapter 2. But Paul goes on after that in chapter 2, and he says, hey, yes, he's your Savior, but you got to allow him. You got to allow him to be your Lord. If you listen to his story, how many years did he offer up a prayer that he thought was frivolous? And he was doing it because somebody says, well, you got to do this. You got to do this. I don't want you to come in here and have somebody say, you got to do this. As I said last week, I want you to come in here and say, man, I get to do this. I get to pray to my Lord. I get to stand up and raise my hands to my Lord. I get to come and fall on my face to my Lord. I get to go and tell somebody out there about my Lord. That's what Paul, to a bunch of people he had never even met, told to the people at Colossae. The Bible makes it very clear, the wages of sin is death. Everybody in this room is going to physically die one day. That verse is talking about your spiritual death. Everybody in this room has an eternity that they're facing. One of two options. Y'all remember the billboards that would say that? One side would be all this flame and black, say hell, and one side would be all this pretty scenery and say heaven. That's a visual representation of what that verse of Scripture, the wages of sin is death, means. With God, you have an eternity of life, and not just happiness, y'all, joy. Because God will seal that hole and replace it and fill it with His Son Jesus Christ and with His Spirit. So everybody here faces a physical death. You face an eternity that is either heaven or hell. And the reality of that is you either accept God for who He is, you accept His Son Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive His Holy Spirit as your source of strength, your source of everything while we're still here, and then one day, you can stand before God and He'll say, welcome home. Welcome home. And at the end of that, He goes into this little talk about service. You know how you become about a good servant or a good server? You got to stop worrying about yourself. I think of His little bit there where He's talking about His Son and saying, you know, like I missed all that. But I get to enjoy it with my grandkids, right? So that's a story of a changed person. And only somebody that's been changed by the grace of God, by the power of God, can go into moments like that and praise God. So I'm going to close, I didn't give you a message. I didn't need to. But I don't want you to go through those doors today thinking you got it beat and you got it made. And I'm not just talking about salvation. I know many in this room are saved. I preach to an audience that the majority of you sitting here every Sunday morning is saved. You've already made that profession of faith. But are you living it the way He wants us to live it? When you wake up every morning, is that the first thought on your mind? Or is it, well, I got to do this today. Or I got to do that today. Or is it, thank you, God, I get to do this today. Thank you, God, that I've got to go pay my power bill. So we don't think about things that way most of the time. But when we have an authentic relationship with our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, it changes your mind. It changes your heart. It changes the way you approach everyday life. We're going to play a song of invitation. There's no words for it. There's no video for it. So we're just going to play it. If God has spoke to your heart in some way today and you need me or you need this altar, I'm here. Most importantly, God is here. He hasn't gone anywhere and He's not going anywhere. If you need to make it right with Him, make it right. And I just ask you, don't go out those doors today. The same. Exactly like you were when you walked in here. I don't want you to, and I don't think God wants you to leave out of those doors without something being different as you go. Will you stand and come if you need to? You remember a few months back I told you I was going to take the kid gloves off. I was going to start getting more serious with you. But I do that because I love you. Most importantly, God loves you. When you leave today, you need to know that. You need to know that. God loves you immensely. Immensely. Take that and grab it, put it in your pocket. Hold on to it and take it with you. Can we pray? Father, we thank You for today. We thank You, Lord, that You have spoken in a very powerful way into our minds and down into our hearts. And Lord, as we go, may we give you all praise, honor, and glory. May we thank you. May we praise you with the loudest voices for your Son, Jesus Christ, who's not only our Savior, but our Lord. And Jesus, may you lead us every step of the way, and may we make you known into this world that is so desperate. Holy Spirit, we love you and we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your strength, your encouragement, your love, and your power. May we get out of the way and let you be you every day. So, Father, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. And we pray all these things together in your mighty and holy name. Amen.